a righteous sneeze.
Richard Allen Miller,
blacking you up.
Well, a witch in the 17th through 19th century was an old witch drooler hag. Now, they're witches, drools, and hags. That's in the Society for Creative Anachronism. Were old ladies that lived alone in the woods and had natural remedies for a lot of medicine. They didn't use leeches, they used da-da-da-da-da. Today, the medical surgeons will use a leech on you. Yeah, please. There's a very interesting study that shows that a lot of the witches that were burned in the 17th century as witches at the stake can be traced to ergot poisoning. They got a hold of old bread that had ergot, they started acting crazy, and they burned them as a witch.
Now, right, but there's more to it because there really were witches practicing just like new magic. And what I was asking you about, though, is ritual.
Okay, rituals are the celebration of a myth. That's your switch that you need to go from the profane where you're a normal human being, click, and now you're a psychic, picking up psychic information. If you do not have that switch, how do you determine which one is which? And that's what happened to my mother. She would start having visions as a famous psychic for the Seattle Police Department and had no way to know what was real and what was just her imagination. And that's what a ritual is about. It's called the celebration of a myth. And you can find that and a bunch of other definitions like that in some older books I wrote on the magical and ritual use. The newest title in that series called The Magical and Ritual Use of Metaphor, Archetypal Gods in Daily Living. And basically, this is a Greek concept that there are 22 stories in the big city. This is going to be my book on the tarot. It is working in metaphor. And in Jungian psychotherapy, you are either possessed, one story, or you're complex, more than one. Usually, most of us have four or five different stories going on. Each one has an ending. If you don't like that ending, like Psyche at the Well of Souls or Persephone having to go into Hades once a year.
No, that sucked for her.
That's what pathworking is about. Changing the movie. Now, it's not the way, it's a way. Oh, that's Gore Vidal and... what's his name? The way, not a way. The way, yeah. What was that guy's name that was battling with Gore Vidal? That was Clue. He was the guy that.
Norman Mailer.
Yes, and Norman Mailer I forget. In any case,
me too.
What I'm trying to say is that by having a switch. The ritual. The old magicians, the way they did it is they let themselves smell bad. Didn't wash their clothes, didn't wash their sheets. They were terrible. And then, just before a ritual, they would wash everything, take a clean bath, and everything was spotless, and they were ready to do the ritual. It's a switch. I take a bath every day now. So my
phone won't
be next to me, but...
I'm Richard Al Miller.
Listening to Tony Ezzy on the clarinet and keyboards, Nicola Royer Artuso on bass and guitar, and Mark Abuantoon on drums. Recorded live in Montreal on November 20th, 2020, at an undisclosed location.
different way of turning their sacred into from the profane. Some will have a bunch of candles lit when the husband comes home and, hey, honey, I've got something else in mind tonight. That's a switch, you know, going from the profane and grumpy old man to the sacred, where all of a sudden we're going to have something special happen. Ritual. That is the purpose of ritual. As I get older, I'm not as detailed or precision from this book and that book on Raziel and Gabriel and, you know, that kind of thing. I don't need to do that as much because I've found my own center on how I do that. And each of us is different. Like all artists do cross-hatching stippling the same way, but it's all different. This artist is different, like Neil's drumming. It's unique. And that's, even though it's a drum, it's a unique drum. Different between Buddy Miles and the Chambers Brothers. I just come today. Hoorah. And I think that rituals are necessary switches so that you recognize the one place from the other. And that's the purpose of ritual.
Okay.
That is Dave Hillman, by the way.
Yeah. Absolutely.
bed, sweet content, dreaming away. When skies are gray, when skies are blue, morning and night time too, all I do the whole day through is dream.
Wants to know, let's see, there was a question earlier and I want to try to get to it. So it says, for Richard, did humanity collectively intend to end the cabal, and does this explain the current situation? That's one of the questions.
I don't work with cabal, I work with the Kabbalah. I work with, well, no.
That the cabal is a way of referring to the Illuminati or those controllers.
The Illuminati, the eye in the triangle, that was Zurich, that was what is now Waldorf schools. My great-grandfather was lodge master to Rudolf Steiner, and he went off and did his own thing. But Illuminati originally were the Jesuits of Rome, that when Rome declared war on them and started hanging them on crosses because they were blasphemous with science, a small group of them revolted, Weishaupt and others, and became assassins to scare the bejesus out of Rome and letting them know who's more dangerous. And it was a betrayal on the Church of Rome with Jesuits. That was where the original Illuminated or knowledge people were from. They were Jesuits. The Jesuits would whip themselves into altered states, you know, whipping themselves to the point where they were in an altered state, and when they got to a certain place, their thoughts could be manifested. That was how they did it back in the year 1000, when Pope Innocent I declared war on the Cathars, which were the bloodlines of Christ and Mary Magdalene. That's an interesting one. And you ought to go, you know, you can go back in and see how things have mutated into belief systems with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And the question that I would ask is, what happened to Mom? There's usually four in the element. And, you know, Mary was very sacred in giving birth to Christ. Where is she in the whole thing? Now, I have a book called The Modern Alchemist that takes a 14th century alchemist and discusses the concepts of steps one needs to take toward enlightenment from a 14th century, and I translated those into current concepts used in Jungian psychotherapy as a management. And the second part of the book talks about the Father consuming the Son, and then the two of them confront the angel on top of the mount. Now, that's an old alchemical Christian form that deplays such things as folly à deux, where the two of you go off together in craziness, to these are the different steps you do toward enlightenment. And there are many roads, as I said, to Rome. And by having taken these different steps and books that I've written, I've come to a place where I have discovered my own way.
That's what you gotta do, and that's what we all need and essentially do. Your own way. I'm doing it by ringing bells, busting grapes, and rocking tapes.
Svetsky.
Well, it's because you had.
And if you want to watch a really good movie, that is the. What was that one where it's in the.
Meetings with Remarkable Men.
That is correct. That movie nails that concept.
Right.
Perfect. It's wonderful.
But Gurdjieff always felt that Opensky kind of got the wrong idea.
Well, that was the war.
Opensky files.
Yeah.
He was his disciple. No, I'm just saying, okay, now someone wants to ask you about what is the pendant that you are wearing?
Oh, this one.
It's Illuminati.
This belonged to my great-grandfather.
It's an eye in a triangle.
You'll notice it has Mars, Saturn, that's male and female, or Venus, culminating toward Jupiter or Judgment, taking the male and female part of May and androgynous part of May and culminating toward Judgment. The stone in the center is my grid, which is grid 7 or above, or Master of the Temple. Then there's some other things on the other side and so on. This is real old. It was my great-grandfather's. Now I'm mine, and, you know, I use it just as a reminder of my lineage and bloodline as a Nelson. I'm Lord Nelson's great-great-grandson or something like that. Oh, by the way, did you notice my ponytail's gone?
Yeah, what?
Oh, yes, I didn't notice. No.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's Julie. It's time for her to make a voodoo doll.
Okay.
Just kidding.
All right. Fair enough. But I want to say you are considered beyond a 33-degree Mason.
Oh, I am. Okay, not American Masonry, Blue Lodge. There are 10
but
grades.
You are also, tell people about how you can walk into the OTO in Europe. And this is dark magicians, okay? So even the dark magicians respect you, all right? But you are not actually of the dark path. I think
I'm not darker. I'm more like living color.
Right? It's a matter of yin and yang. In other words, both paths. But go ahead and explain about the OTO.
OTO, Ordo Templi Orientis, was Order of the Temple of the Orient, used sex magic as its primary thing, called the Mass of the Holy Ghost. And basically, it is a ritual where you use sex to produce magic by using your emotions. And back then, not today, sex was considered one of the bigger systems of emotional and punctuation of something. Now, the bad news is, if you're thinking about someone else at the moment of climax, that's what breaks up marriages.
Just is what I'm talking about. I give up all my lovers if
A space plane. Flash back. Rewind. March 10, 2020. 2 days before the end of the old world.
Break forth with blaze upon man. Break forth with blaze upon man.
You listen at Space Plane, CKUT 90.3.
All dead to it!
Yeah. months after that, he came to me in a vision. And this is not unusual. I've had a lot of visions, a lot of contact with people who have passed on, I mean, throughout my life. Never had any control of it. Mind you, it was just random and frequent, you know. I didn't know how to control it. And I hadn't been trained. So he came to me in a vision, and he told me that he's fine, he's okay. He told me that in where he is now in the spirit world, that there is no past, there's no future, it's all the eternal present. And he's very happy, and he told me, and now it's time for you to tell those stories that have happened to you. People need to know. This is the time to do it. And he even gave me the title of the series. He said, Timeless. That's what it is, because that's
wow, that's a great title. It's timeless,
so
really.
So he encouraged me to start writing the book. So I started with, I think the first book was 34 paranormal stories that have happened to me since age 4. And I left out some of the more bizarre ones and all the alien stuff. I left that out in the first book. Some of it I hadn't quite pieced together, and others I was kind of like testing the waters. That's where that fear came from. Even though my friend said it was okay, I wanted to test the waters. And then with the second book, Timeless Deja Vu, I there was 28 more stories. I think it was 28 more stories. I went a little bit further, and I mentioned an ancient alien mystic that I had contact with. So I figured, okay, now we'll see how that goes. And then this last book, the one that you're reading, Timeless Trinity, there are 24 stories, and 9 of them deal with alien contact or UFOs. So I just kind of warmed up to that. And now my theory behind all this is that the alien world, the quantum world, and the spirit world are really all the same. And that's the theory that I'm working with, and how all this is connected. But anyway, that's how I got started with this. And
sounds good to me, Bruce Solheim, author, professor of history regarding ETs and the paranormal. I don't know where I'm gonna go with this, but his book has an interesting cover. But you can't see it, because you can't see nothing. Because it's a radio! CKUT 90.3.
I'm very glad that I did. I'm not sure where, it's a trilogy, so I'm not sure where to go after that. Because,
you're me either, prick.
Things keep happening, so.
Okay, and you also talk quite a bit about your spirit guides, I see.
Yes.
And you give them names, which are kind of funny. Mm-hmm. And maybe you can talk about how you came upon your spirit guides and, how that links into your everyday life and whether you are in contact with them constantly or whether this is the only show.
Constantly, Gary.
Yeah. Well, I knew from my mom telling me I had a guardian angel, so I knew it was a she, a female presence, and she was an angelic type being. And I didn't know what her name was until about 4 years ago, I figured it out. I have always, my most precious thing I had when I was a child was my teddy bear. Well, I never considered my teddy bear to be male or female. And then I lost that teddy bear when I became an adult. And just after Gene came to me in that vision 4 years ago, I looked on eBay and I found the exact same teddy bear, 1958 vintage. And
what are the chances? More on that later with Bruce Solheim on Space Plane. All horse, all clippity clop. Radio. Yeah.
president.
Can you get it through? I got some talking to do. I'm gonna eat me some hedgehog. I won't let no doctors look at me. To the caravans in the swamps where I trace my family tree. I'm slinging mad products on the streets. There ain't nobody messing with me. I get the whole neighborhood off. Plus I take my own shit too, so I'm crazy as hell. I'll go for the old city. Step, you start talking some shit. I must be left.
To a different plane of existence. He looked down, he said, what do you see? Jeremiah said, I see skulls and bones all over the place.
No, and I'm 37 years old, and I want something to show for my life. You know, I've never been on a boat.
Hey, son, you want to go on a boat? I can give you one across your lip.
Hey, come on, Papa, come on now.
And shit, skulls and bones all over the place. He said, the Elohim said, could the bones be saved? Could the people down there be saved? And then Jeremiah, the prophecy spoke and said, only you know, Lord, if they can be saved, only you know, Lord. He said, well, speak to the bones and see them. And then the prophet began to prophesy. He began to speak to the bones. All of the skeletons. Imagine the whole room is full of just skeletons and bones and shit. Skeletons scattered all over the place.
Good to me.
Mm-hmm.
music done by me, the host of the show, Tony E on banjo, and Nicola Royer are two so on. Jim Bitch recorded live, two cassette tape before this program, maybe like a week and a half ago, you know, cause that's how we do it. It's Fast Play!
And God coming down, and Elohim coming down, right? And telling you to speak to those bones. This is how powerful words are.
In my show, and words on my show.
sax solo.
Space Plane!